Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of the EMJ podcast. My name is Dr. Hannah Moyer, Senior Medical Writer and Moderator for EMJ. This is an episode as part of our series, The Current Status of Anti-TNF Therapies for Inflammatory Bowel Disease. This podcast series has been supported by Viatris. Today, I'm welcoming back our two experts from gastroenterology who are sharing their expertise and insights. Firstly, we have Dr. Yamila Zabana from the University of Barcelona in Spain, and we're also joined by Shubha Bhatt, a clinical pharmacist at the Institute at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, USA. So again, thank you very much for coming back and joining me for today's discussion. In this episode of the series, we are looking at considering practical recommendations for anti-TNFs for IBD and when best to use them. So if I could come to you first, Shubha. There are several different anti-TNF therapy drugs available on the market. So how do we go about making the right choice for our patients? What is the option for each of our patients? What factors should we consider when making treatment decisions, things like age, sex, comorbidities?
Yep, this is an excellent question. So currently we have four anti-TNF medicines that we use in inflammatory bowel disease treatment, and those include infliximab, adalimumab, sotalimumab, and golimumab. And infliximab and adalimumab can be used for both Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, whereas sotalimumab is only indicated for Crohn's disease and golimumab is only indicated for ulcerative colitis. So in the US, we commonly most use infliximab and adalimumab, and we also have biosimilar products now available for those, and so that's a pretty exciting advance recently. Infliximab is generally favored in certain situations like fistulizing perianal disease. We tend to use it more in acute severe ulcerative colitis, even in obesity, just to name a few of these clinical scenarios. And infliximab also offers some additional benefits with dose escalation, so we can actually adjust the dose or the interval to try to achieve targeted levels, whereas with adalimumab, we only will typically only adjust the level, the interval. So we also have several studies that show infliximab is superior to adalimumab for induction and maintenance, specifically in ulcerative colitis. So what I'm trying to get at is there's just a ton of many clinical factors that can actually guide the selection of a specific anti-TNF. But if patients have the option to choose, the main factors that typically would then influence selection tend to be their preference for either intravenous versus subcutaneous administration, and then simultaneously whether they want to receive the medicine at an infusion center versus their home. And then they also might have a preference for dosing frequency. So for example, adalimumab is dosed every 2 weeks, whereas infliximab can be dosed every 8 weeks. And then in the US, we also do have to consider insurance situation. So for example, for our Medicare patients, we actually might be more leaning towards infliximab because Medicare generally will cover for hospital-based infusion services. So we know from like a cost standpoint, we're not necessarily going to run into a ton of barriers with that Medicare population.
And Yamila, is there a similarity in Europe, just to provide that comparison?
I mean, we're using not much golimumab, and mainly our treatment based on anti-TNF is infliximab and adalimumab, and they can choose. What we are using now, an increasing use of subcutaneous infliximab. This is, I don't know whether you have this in the States, but this is a quite good alternative when you have to give monotherapy with the infliximab, because they have been shown that the levels of the drug are quite good and the immunogenicity is low due to their pharmacodynamic composition.
So that's a great point. We're actually hoping to get that in March. So it just got FDA approval here as well, and we're hoping that it'll be available for our patients in March. So we're very interested in potentially switching some patients that might be interested. Looking forward again to see how the insurance landscape will favor, but it is a biosimilar product technically, and it's supposed to even be a bio better. So that means that patients are getting a little bit of an enhanced treatment efficacy, if you will, just because the stability of the medicine, and as Yamila had mentioned, the immunogenicity profile is really good with this medicine. So we're looking forward to having that in our medication arsenal soon.
So we've talked about infliximab and adalimumab. Yamila, could you just come and provide some practical or feasible recommendations of how you would manage your patients with moderate to severe IBD? How do you decide when to start, which ones are best to start, and what options you have there?
Yes, Hannah. When the patient has a moderate to severe disease, biologics shouldn't be considered a first-line therapy, and the first-line therapy includes anti-TNFs as the first option. So if the patient has clinical factors of an aggressive disease as diagnosis in an early age or an extensive disease or being an active smoker or having a complicated disease with the strictures of abscesses or even perianal disease and Crohn's disease, anti-TNF should be considered as well as the first drug of choice. The best time to start an advanced therapy is, and this is something that we know for everything, is as soon as possible. So the only patients that we should exclude those advanced therapies will be patients with a really mild disease, which is not the majority of them. But besides that, we should try to think about an advanced therapy and biologics in them as soon as it's possible.
So we hear that the biologics, the options available, are the right options for those with moderate to severe Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, and starting them as early as possible is the way forward. So thank you very much for that insight. That's all we have time for, unfortunately, for this discussion. So I just want to thank Yamila and Shuba for providing this insight in this current status of anti-TNF therapies for inflammatory bowel disease series. If you enjoyed this episode, please access the others through our podcast platform by visiting emjreviews.com or any of your preferred podcast platforms. So I look forward to welcoming you back again soon. So until next time, take care and goodbye for now.